This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The Ummah together as family, with the Sunnah of our beloved Nabi.
Who knows the name Abdullah ibn Yasin? Abdullah ibn Yasin was a person unheard of and unknown about in history, and he would have probably been unheard of and unknown about had certain things not occurred in his life. He was in one of the Ilm cities of Morocco, and the Berbers of Africa came to him, came to his teacher to send us an alim to teach us religion. So they sent Abdullah ibn Yasin, and he is a Maliki faqih, a person that has been brought up, you know, on strict religious guidance. So when he came to the Berbers had compromised religion a little bit. You know, they used to marry more than four wives, and they used to do this. They had kept their culture and kind of mixed it with the religion. So when he came with that staunch religious guidance, you know, true religious guidance, they didn't take too well to it, so they kicked him out. Now the sheikh back home, he was well off in Morocco. He had his students, and he had his dars, and he had his halaqas, and so on. And here he was kicked out. So the choice was to go back to Morocco and admit failure, or go back into the city and be killed, or find another solution. So he decided he's going to go towards Senegal in Africa. And he put up a tent there. Just a tent, Rabat tent. And he sent a letter to the people that he had come to in Mauritania area, that if anyone wants to learn religion, come to the tent. And subhanAllah, 3, 4, 5 people came, youngsters, that we want to learn the deen. And religion and Islam and taqwa and piety changes a person. So it turned their hearts into this radiant. You see these movies where they have this nuclear reactor inside the chest like that. And taqwa was emanating from them. Imagine there in the desert, nothing but taqwa, and nothing but obedience, and nothing but ibadah, and nothing but learning. They were just busy with that. So when Islam took hold of them, and when they started to shine with this new light, they would come back into the city and take some other youngsters, come and learn the deen. So slowly the numbers increased. And over many years, eventually there was 1,000 other tents next to the tents of the sheikh. 1,000 tents. And in the wilderness, subhanAllah, there's... And in Mauritania, deen is still taught like that. It is still taught in the tent. It's still taught in the open. So, that type of clean, pristine lifestyle, you know, away from the filth and the muck, brought about this 1,000 or so tent of people who were righteous and God-fearing, taught the deen properly. And then, more importantly, deen being taught and learning was that they had a murabbi who instilled the actual habits of these teachings in them. There's a difference between learning. There's a lot of people who learn, but you don't see the learning in their deeds. But to be able to implement, and this is tarbiyah, this is what is lacking, what was in the old system, was that when a sheikh told you about wudu, he made sure that you learned and inculcated that wudu as the sheikh taught you. And step by step you did it. If he taught you salam, you did it as he watched over you, he trained you that it become part of your life. And Islam, we are Muslims, walillah alhamdulillah minna, but it's not totally part of our lives. If I ask like, what do you say when you wake up for Fajr? What's the first utterance that you make? Is it the same as the Rasul did? You see that you know what the Rasul wanted you to say, but you haven't had the tarbiyah to make it part of your life. And you come into the masjid or to the place of worship, you know the dua, you were taught it, do you actually do it? No, because what is missing is the actual tarbiyah. We need a murabbi to train us, to bring us, to inculcate the actual teaching into the lives. That's the magic. And he did it, Abdullah ibn Yasin. He trained this 1,000 tents, and in each tent, you know, there's five people or six people also. And pretty soon this became a center of life and a center of piety, a center of ibadah, a center of learning. So the Berbers leaders came to him and they joined the movement. And when they joined the movement, this long tent turned to 14,000 warriors. And the 14,000, so people, local people, used to come to them for their disputes. We have this problem, this tribe is attacking, this is little things like that. So one of their leaders, Abu Bakr ibn Umar, he was the sheikh died, so he was left in charge. So he decided there was some quarrel between two tribes locally. They came to him for help. So he went to sort the problem out, and he took with him 7,000 warriors. And he left Yusuf ibn Tashkin in charge of the murabitun, of the tent to it. You're in charge. And by this time, obviously, they had a system, they had a government. Islam was being practiced, as in the whole system of Islam, including its political, religious, government, and so on. So this person went, and when he went, sorted the, you know, made peace between the tribes and sorted the difficulty out. They told him, there's another tribe there next to us, they're not Muslims, they worship trees. So he went to that tribe and he taught them Islam, and they became Muslims. And when they became Muslims, they told him there's another one. So he kept going. And Yusuf here, Yusuf ibn Tashin, waited, you know, when is the Amir coming back? 1 year passed and the man couldn't come. So he thought, I can't sit here like this, you know, not doing anything. So he went this way. That one went to the tribes that way. This one went this way. And same, tribe to tribe, qala Allah, qala Rasul, you know. After they said, I forget the number, I think it's 11 years, 14 to 11 years. Umar, Abu Bakr ibn Umar came back. And he saw that there's officers and there's government. And it's not that little tent place he had left, it has grown to an actual country in a state. And Yusuf came and he said, I couldn't wait anymore, I had to go and do something. And now, alhamdulillah, the army of this government is 100,000 people. So Abu Bakr ibn Umar told him, fantastic, I will join my lot with yours. And Abu Bakr ibn Umar has made not a few people Muslim. He has made 26 countries Muslim. 26 countries, all that part of Africa. Senegal and all, they become Muslims at the hand of him. And he joined the armies together, how many people? 500,000 soldiers. From where? From a tent. And the scholars say, when Allah Rabbul Izzah places qabool on something, accepts a deed, irrespective of house, it goes through time and space, it becomes huge and big. In the path of knowledge, the Shaykh will obviously know this, in the usul of fiqh, one of the Shaykhs wrote, it's so small that he didn't call it a book, he calls it waraqat. The Imam al-Haramain al-Juwayni. Waraqat is just a few pages, I think it's 6 pages or 7 pages. Just 7 pages, and he's put the usul of the fiqh of Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah. And he wrote it centuries ago, but Allah accepted this little deed. It's just fail. I mean, in Islamic history, there are those who wrote, there's an alim, 800 volumes, it's just one of his works, 800 volumes, only three of it's been published, three volumes has been published, 800 volumes. He used to say, I think, and the Arabs have this food called ka'k. So between ka'k and bread, I opt for ka'k. Because if I put it in water, I don't have to worry about chewing, I can just swallow it. And I don't need to waste time chewing. So he was that type of person. So there's huge works that have been left, but this man just left a few pages, but Allah accepted those pages. And those pages come to us today. When you start usul, the first thing that you study, على الراجح with the many of the teachers, is this waraqat of the Imam al-Haramain. 6 pages. And that means the ajr keeps going to him. You see, Allah's accepted his deed. So I have come here, and alhamdulillah, and every time I come, it seems to be more light and bright here. Walillah alhamd. You sit in a little isolated place here. If Allah accepts what is happening here, blesses it with qabool, don't worry about size and stuff. The rest Allah will do. Jalla jalla. And may Allah Rabbul Azza accept your work and our works, ya Rabbi.
Pray, I'll be sending you praise with the words that I said, Rasulullah, oh Muhammad. Peace and blessings on you every day.